we all experience afflictions through life, believers and unbelievers alike. There's still families dealing with grief because of what happened 10 years ago when our country was attacked on September 11. Many lives were lost that day. And many other lives, many more lives have been lost in the efforts to capture and kill the authors of that attack, and also going after governments that supported him. And when I became a believer, for a time I thought that life was going to even be better, which has been better. But in some ways you think, oh well, God is with me, I will not suffer. But there's still sufferings for will here on this earth. And it is those times of affliction that as believers we should use them to get to know God better, to get to know Jesus Christ better, to get to know His power better, and to get to know the man of sorrow better. It is never easy because it's not natural for us to want to be in emotional or physical pain. But the Lord Jesus Christ went through those pains. And when we go through affliction, we get to know more of what Jesus Christ also has suffered. When those times come, with different degrees of affliction or stress and different lengths, as believers we need to be ready to make the most out of those times, especially regarding our relationship with God. And this morning I would like to start a new book. We're going to take a break from Isaiah. We're going to start the book of 2 Corinthians. And I would like to take some time to look at the wonderful things that can happen during those times of affliction. Please turn your Bibles to the book of 2 Corinthians, and we're going to look at part of the first chapter, verses 1 to 11. And let's pray so that the Lord will teach us through His Word this morning. Lord, we thank You for Your Word that we can open this morning in freedom. Thank You for the principles that were laid by so many Christians at the beginning of this country that allow us to have that freedom at this time, Lord. We pray that You will talk to us through Your Holy Spirit, that the Holy Spirit will make the words in the page alive, and let us meditate on those words, let us apply it to our lives as we deal with afflictions in our own lives. Let us understand the comfort that You can only give. I pray that You will help me to put into words the message that the Apostle Paul wrote here under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, and may it be a comfort for my brothers and sisters this morning, as they might even comfort other believers as well. And we're praying this in Jesus' name. Amen. The book of 2 Corinthians was probably the fourth letter that the apostle wrote to the church of Corinth. We call it the second letter to the Corinthians, not because it was the second written, but it's because we only have two extant letters that Paul wrote to the Corinthians, and the first one is first and the second one is second. But probably the first letter to the Corinthians was the second letter that the Apostle Paul wrote to them. And this 2 Corinthians is the fourth letter that the Apostle wrote. And the other ones, God in His providence did not consider necessary for us to have. So we don't have those letters. The church in Corinth was a very problematic church. Corinth was a city that was founded on a very strategic place in Greece, what is now Greece. It had a port where boats can access from the west, and boats can also access from the east. And it had been a port for a long time, but at the same time, because a city with a lot of traffic and merchandise and commerce, was also a very sinful city. And then but the Lord has the power to save people from all places and from all over the world, from all different cultures, and even in what would be something similar to San Francisco or Las Vegas, a place where people went to have fleshly pleasures, and where Venus or Artemis was worshipped. A church came out from there, from the visit of the Apostle Paul. In fact, God revealed to Paul in his first week there, he said, "Paul, be bold, because I have a lot of people in this city." And he stayed there for a year and a half, and a great church appeared. But at the same time, there was a lot of little understanding of the Word of God. So the Apostle Paul was used by the Holy Spirit to lead this church. And in some ways it was really good that the church had a lot of problems, because now we're benefited from the writings from the Apostle Paul regarding those issues. And now we can look at the same problems or similar problems in our churches today, and now we know what to do since we have the writings of the Apostle Paul. And this fourth letter that he writes to Corinth is a very personal letter. In this letter, the apostle is going to defend his apostleship, that saying that he was a true apostle. Some people were saying, "Hey, you never met Jesus Christ face to face. You didn't spend those 3 years that the rest of the apostles spent with Jesus Christ." And that was true. He did meet Jesus Christ, you can say, face to face in the road to Damascus. Of course, it was a very bright light that just blinded him. And the Lord Jesus Christ appeared to him one or two times later in his ministry. But he did not meet the qualifications of an apostle, of having spent the 3 years from the beginning when Jesus Christ was baptized to the time where he was when he ascended onto heaven. In fact, he was persecuting the church. He was persecuting the work that God was doing on earth. And he called himself, "I am the worst of sinners." But God had a plan for him, just like he had a plan for the church in Corinth. And this letter is going to give us a glimpse of what it took to spread the gospel among the Gentiles. And hopefully it will encourage us to partake of the same process now in our days. So let's look at the letter. Paul is going to introduce himself as an apostle of Jesus Christ. And he says, "I'm an apostle not because I wanted to be an apostle. It's not because I just wanted to have leadership in all these churches. It's not because I wanted to be famous forever and ever." He probably didn't know that was going to happen. In fact, he did have leadership persecuting the church. He made sure that he had the letters from the authorities to be able to put Christians in jail. He was organizing that. He made sure that when Stephen was put to death, he was watching the backs of those who did it. They brought their cloaks for him to keep, and he was in charge of the organized persecution of believers. But now, God is going to use his great work that he had spent in his young years learning the Bible, and he's going to open his spiritual eyes to show him, hey, the one you're persecuting is the one that you have studied all along from the very beginning. He is the one that has come. Jesus Christ is the one whom Isaiah prophesied that the child that is coming, the lamb who didn't open his mouth and was taken to the slaughter. And so as soon as he met Jesus Christ, when he went into Damascus, he was able to testify that, yes, Jesus has come, and the Messiah had come, and Jesus was that Messiah. The Messiah was the Christ. But as soon as that started, danger started for him. Immediately, they wanted to put him to death. Those who were with him, whom he was working with at one time persecuting the church, then they turned against him, and he said, "Well, he goes out the door, we'll catch him and we'll put him to death." And he had to escape that first city, Damascus, down a basket on the side of the... he really trusted that basket to go down the wall. And he really trusted the new disciples that he had met. "Hey, there is Paul down. You know what? He has been very mean to us." "Yes, he indeed has been very mean." No. They could have done that, but they didn't. The Lord spoke to him and said, "I'm going to show you how much you will have to suffer for my sake." And Paul starts saying, "I'm an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God. It's not what I wanted to do with my life, But now that he had met the Lord, I'm sure he was delighted to be an apostle, even though he was going through a lot of afflictions. And he said, I'm writing with Timothy, our brother, who knows everything about what I'm writing here and all about you and all about me. And I'm writing to the church of God, that means to the group of believers, to the group of God's people, which is at Corinth, with all the saints who are in Achaia. And he said, I'm writing this to Corinth, to the city right here, but not only to them, but to the whole province of, what is it, half Greece, except for Macedonia, to the whole, if they want to know about me, they are welcome to read this letter. It's to all, for all of them. And he greets them with a regular greeting, which is grace, which is a favorable, in this case, it's a favorable attitude from God that shows kindness. I want God to show his kindness to you, grace and peace. And peace is the Hebrew greeting. So the Greek, grace is the Greek greeting, which is just may God, or may God bless you. And then the other one is may God give you peace. May God give you favorable circumstances in everything. That's shalom, shalom. May God give you freedom from all your fears, from any fear you have. May God give you freedom from that. And then after the greeting, he starts praising God. In other letters, Paul starts writing, I praise the Lord because of your faith. Or I praise the Lord because I have heard of your faith. Or I praise the Lord because of the changes that he's doing in you, that he has called you into his people. But this time he's not praising God for that. This is different. He says, I'm going to praise God because he's a God of comfort in my afflictions. Because I have been suffering and God has been comforting me. So differently from actually focusing on the recipients of the letter, like in other letters, like he writes to the Philippians or the Colossians, and he just thanks God for their faith, or to the Romans because of the faith that they have, even though he's never seen them, he's heard of their faith. Now he praises God because he has been a God of comfort. So, from these 11 verses, what I want to share with you, is what we can get from times of affliction. What, during times of affliction, the first thing is, and probably the greatest, is that you can get to know the Father of all comfort. As I said before, part of knowing the Lord Jesus Christ is going through afflictions. It is afflictions that get us to know more about the Lord Jesus Christ. Just like the Lord Jesus Christ, part of knowing humanity was taking on a body of flesh. He existed before that. But he took on a body of flesh, and he was tempted in everything just like we are. And that's why, but of course without sin. And that's the way that he got to know us better. Now, experientially, we can get to know more of the Lord Jesus Christ and more of God is through afflictions. Without afflictions, he cannot comfort you. You cannot know the God and the Father of all comfort if you are not afflicted. If there is nothing to be comforted of, there is no way to know God on this role. So, but Paul is praising God because he actually has gotten to know God in his role of the Father of all mercies and all comfort. Let's read verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Just like he said in 2 Corinthians, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. And the blessing here, this blessing is, may he be well spoken of, will he be praised or blessed, because he's the Father of all mercies. Sometimes when we have problems, we would like to have someone who will have some sympathy or would care enough to just sit down and listen what we're going through and what we're thinking about and what we... And many times it's parents who do that. But sometimes parents don't do that either. But Paul says here, God is a father that is interested enough to come and sit down and listen to you and then showed you mercy. In the word mercy here is sympathy, pity, concern, compassion. He's ready to listen and hear you during your afflictions. But of course, you cannot have that Father of mercy without those afflictions. But also, He's the Father of all comfort, of encouragement, of consolation. And probably this word, comfort, is translated different ways. Well, it's used in different ways. The Holy Spirit is called a comforter. And the word comes from someone who comes alongside you, either to encourage you. It's also used to exhort. And sometimes I want to exhort you is the same word. But in this case, he's not the God who is exhorting us, but it's more, in this passage, especially in the New Testament, is used as the word, the God who is cheering you up, who is comforting you during your afflictions. I guess you can exhort someone by cheering them up, but this is cheering them up when you are under pressure, when you are going through hard times. God comes and He cheers you up, and that's what we do when we comfort. Sometimes, and this is myself, I pray for people to comfort other people, and I forget sometimes all the details that go into comforting. But basically, comforting happens when someone has gone through something hard, painful, sad, and then someone comes alongside and says, you know, this was painful, but God is ready to bless you again. His mercies are new every morning. Yes, this was awful, but it's not the end. There are more new things that God will bless you with. And the one who is an expert at comforting is God. He's the God of all comfort. So blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and God of all comfort, who comforts us in 83% of our tribulations. No, in 100% of our tribulations. He comforts us in all of our tribulations. And do you know how Paul got to know this? Because he was going through big tribulations. And he said, basically what has happened, he went to Corinth, he established a church, stayed there for a year and a half. Then he went down to Jerusalem. And that trip is barely mentioned in the book of Acts. He goes to Jerusalem, and then he goes to Ephesus, where he spent several years, 3 years. But during those years, I think one of the letters, he said he almost had to face the beast in Ephesus. But it's not recorded in Acts. What is recorded in Acts is that people got really mad because he started preaching the word, and people stopped worshiping Diana or Artemis of the Ephesians. And then it hurt the people where it hurts the most, in their pockets. No, the smiths, the silversmiths who were making all these figurines were not selling as many anymore because people were knowing the truth. And then there was a big demonstration, thank you, where people just got together and started shouting, and then there was a huge crowd, and they started shouting, and then they brought one of the Christians through the church, and they were trying to accuse him of something, and Paul was ready to go out, but the brethren said, it's not wise for you to go there, and they kept him out. And then after they shouted and shouted, finally one of the leaders said, well, who has said that Diana of the Ephesians is not the greatest? And said, no, no one. And then the whole multitude dissipated. But that's just one of the things that are mentioned. But I believe there were many other things that happened to Paul where he was in Ephesus. And Paul now writes, people are saying that I'm not an apostle. People are claiming that I'm not an apostle. Well, I'm not an apostle because I'm an apostle, but not because I wanted to be an apostle, but because of the will of God. And because I am an apostle, I have gone through a lot of tribulations, but because of those tribulations, I want to bless the God and Father of the Lord Jesus Christ, because He has comforted me in all my tribulations, in all of our tribulations. So the first thing is, when you are under tribulations, the greatest thing you get to know is you get to know the side of God where He is the Father of all comfort. The second one is that you realize that you're being given the power to become a comforter yourself. And verse 4, the second part of verse 4, that we may be able to comfort those who are in any trouble with the comfort with which we ourselves are comforted by God. When God comes and cheers you up and says, yes, I know this was awful and you suffered pain and you suffered loss and you felt that you were not in the control, that you felt that everything was against you, but I just want to give you something to cheer you up. And once you have been comforted, then you can see someone else in the same situation that you were before, and then you can come alongside as a comforter and say, you know, I was in the same situation, and the Lord came and He comforted me. He showed me that, yes, it was a horrible thing, but He is ready to bless you again. He's ready to pour His blessings upon you. And He never promised to give you an easy life, but He did promise to be with you 100% of the time. Behold, I'm with you always, even to the end of the age. So that we may be able to comfort those who are in any trouble with the comfort with which we ourselves are comforted by God. But the third thing is, notice that the comfort that you receive is suitable for your affliction. Just like God has given us no temptation that we are not able to overcome, or God has more than given it, He has not allowed, because God doesn't tempt anyone, but He has not allowed any temptation to come that is beyond our strength. The same thing with the comfort. If when the trouble is great, the comfort is great. When the trouble is small, the comfort is small. Verse 5, for as the sufferings of Christ abound in us, so our consolation also abounds through Christ. In the case of Paul, the sufferings were great. He said the sufferings of Christ, and I would take it here as the sufferings because of the sake of Christ, have abound and have become many. The comfort of God is also many. In the book of James, he says that His grace is multicolored or multiform. So basically, if you get a blue trouble, He gives you blue grace. And you get a black trouble, He gives you black grace, well, strong grace. And it's just to match colors. Well, the same thing here, Paul is saying, things just match. The biggest the trouble we have, the biggest the blessing we have received from God. So that the sufferings of Christ abound in us, our consolation, our comfort has also abound through Jesus Christ. The fourth thing is, other people will also be comforted because of your affliction. Now, this is in the second point, you go and you comfort other people because you have been comforted before. But in this one, people see you being comforted, and they see and they learn and they say, hey, if they are comforted, I'm happy too. I'm cheerful. Even though they are going through all these troubles, I'm cheerful that they are being blessed. And in some ways, this is what happens with us when we read the missionary letters, and that they might go through a hard time or either in their troubles or in their ministry there. But then the Lord sends some blessings and provides for what they need. And then we go, wow, that was really encouraging. That is what God is doing even to make their ministry successful. And we can rejoice with them. And that's in verse 6. Now, if we are afflicted, it's for your consolation and salvation. Notice that everything starts with affliction, not with comfort. You cannot have comfort without affliction. And Paul says, when we are afflicted, it's because God wants to comfort you. And God is working your salvation. He wants you to trust Him, which is effective for enduring the same sufferings which we also suffer. Or if we are comforted, it's also for your comfortation of consolation of salvation. Let me go back a little bit in this phrase. Paul says, when we're afflicted, it's so that you can also enjoy this comfort, because it's for your comfort and salvation. Now, this comfort, the word effective there, if you have New King James, is the word work. what the tribulation does, it produces fortitude or endurance. It's effective for enduring. It's probably better. A different way to think about it is when you have affliction, what it does, it gives you fortitude to endure for a longer time, especially the comfort that God gives you through that time of affliction. Let me go keep here. In Romans 5, Paul says about the same thing. I believe in the beginning of the chapter, he's saying, you are in a state of grace. You have been justified by faith. You have peace with God. You'll have access into this grace through Jesus Christ. You are rejoicing that you are going to enjoy the glory of God. And he said, we are not just boasting that we're going to see God's glory, but we also boast when we have afflictions. That's the same word that we're having here in 2 Corinthians. And knowing that tribulation produces, and that's the same word, works, or is effective, it produces perseverance or endurance or fortitude. The more that you go through tribulation, the more comfort you receive from God, but the stronger it makes you to go through harder situations. So, and then perseverance produces character, hope. And then he says, once you receive that comfort, that hope doesn't disappoint because the love of God has been poured into our hearts by the Holy Spirit, which he has given to us. So basically, Paul is drawing a line between the love of God and afflictions. Even though you are going through afflictions, whether big or small, God still loves you, and he will show it to you through those afflictions. That's what he is doing. So, yes, that tribulation will also produce endurance, but because of that, God also will show you his love that he will be pouring upon your heart. Let me read that verse 6 again. Now, if we're afflicted, it is for your consolation or salvation. So other people will be comforted when you are being comforted, those who are watching, because it's working for endurance, the same sufferings which we also suffer. And if we're comforted, it is for your consolation and salvation. So Paul says in verse 7 then, our hope is for your... our hope for you is steadfast, or is certain. We're certain that you will be comforted too, because we know that you are partakers of the sufferings. You also will be partakers of the consolation. So Paul is saying, because you have been partakers with our sufferings and you're watching what's happening with us, you will also be comforted. Because when God says affliction, he sends comfort. I think basically that's what he's saying in this passage. His love works it out so that when affliction comes, his comfort comes. So if we are afflicted, he sends comfort to us. If you are afflicted because of our afflictions, you will also receive comfort, because when he sends the affliction to you because of what's happening to us, your comfort will come too. And I think that's what he's saying in verse 7. Our hope for you is sure or certain, steadfast, because we know that as you are partakers of the sufferings, you will also be partakers of that comfort. So going back, and we're almost done as you can see, people will receive comfort as well because of your affliction, when they partake of your affliction. The next thing is, when you are under affliction, your faith grows. Faith has a hard time growing when everything goes well, when you have all what you need in your freezer and refrigerator and in your bank account, and when there are no problems all around you and everything is going well. Yes, you have some faith, but faith is greatly demonstrated when things are not there, and then God will provide, and God will comfort you, and God will show his power, and God will show his care and his love for you. Although you might not know exactly when it's going to happen and how it's going to happen, that's when your faith grows. And the Apostle Paul was not an exception. Verse 8, what happened? He writes, "Well, we don't want you to be ignorant, brethren, of our trouble, which came to us in Asia." And Asia is Turkey. In fact, Ephesus. He spent several years, 3 years in Ephesus. And while we were there, it got really bad. We were burdened beyond measure, to the extreme, to an extraordinary degree. We were not in control of anything. We thought it was beyond our strength, beyond our human capabilities. There was no way for us to escape what had happened to us. And it might have been fighting the beast, it might have been whatever it was. It was so bad, it was so that we despaired. And the word in Greek is not just despair, it's extreme despair of living. We thought we were going to die. And it's not that Paul wasn't sure that he was going to heaven after, if he had died, but it was just maybe the uncertainty of how bad things were going to get while he was still alive. So things got beyond our control. We suffered to the extreme. And we're talking about someone who at one time was stoned and people thought that he was dead. And that happened actually before he went to Corinth. And we're talking to... in this book, this letter is so personal. And someone had mentioned that believers don't even spend too much time in this second letter to the Corinthians. And I think that's why I chose it, because of how much the Apostle Paul had to endure sharing the Word of God. And he said, things got bad. And modern, it was bad, man. I really thought I wasn't going to make it. But God comforted him in his affliction. And he said, yes, we had the sentence of death in ourselves. And it's not that they had already written the authorities, Paul should be killed at such and such day. No, it's not. But basically, it just felt that there was already something written that's it, that no more. That's our last thing you're going to say. We felt we had the sentence of death, the verdict of death in ourselves. But why? That we should not trust in ourselves, so that we shouldn't rely in ourselves, but in God who raises the dead. So basically Paul understood, you know, we just have to trust in God. There is no other. And Paul himself, the great apostle Paul, is learning a lesson that we all have to learn. But the only way to learn it is through afflictions, to a point where you said, okay, my bank account won't cover this. My friends won't be able to help me here. Basically, I depend on you, Lord. If you want me to go through this, it's going to be you. And Paul said, I learned that God is the one who raises the dead. And he has the power to raise the dead. He was able to save us from that danger when we thought we were going to lose our lives. He later talks about dangers of the road. And he also... Here he hadn't been in a shipwreck, or he might have. He writes about it later. We're going to read that section again. Maybe not again, but we're going to read that section, Lord willing. Verse 10, and notice here the tenses. Because the lesson that he learned from going through trials is that God is the one who has the power to raise the dead, and because he delivered us from so great death and is delivering us right now, we will trust that he will still deliver us in the future. He starts with the past. Yes, he delivered us from such great death. And he says, such a great death. We were going to be killed there. There was no way to escape. But it was a great deliverance because it was going to be a great death. But then he's still delivering us because I'm still here in Asia and I'm still here in danger and I'm writing to you letting you know that I am an apostle because Jesus Christ wanted to make me an apostle, not because I wanted to, and I can be gone by the time this letter gets to you, but he's still saving me and I know that he will save me in the future too. and his faith grew, and his trust and confidence in Christ grew more and more, and he got bolder and bolder sharing the word of God. He delivers us, he does deliver us, and he will still deliver us in the future. We are confident, we have that trust that he will deliver us in the future. The last thing is, when you are going under afflictions, you can give others the opportunity to participate in your afflictions through prayer and through thanksgiving. Sometimes we like to just be quiet about what's happening to us, but if you're quiet, people can't pray for you. But Paul wasn't quiet. He's letting them know through letters, and also I'm sure the church in Ephesus were praying for Paul at that time. So verse 11, you also helping together, this is one word in the Greek, sumpurgeo, which means cooperating. It's very interesting for me. I've never been able to decipher how it sounds. Well, I know how it sounds. I just can't put it in my mouth like that. I need to study that one. Joining in help together. And Paul says, yes, we were in there. I was striving. I was in a very hard danger. But I felt that I wasn't just fighting by myself alone, because you were joining with me in prayer. You and many other believers were praying for me. And in fact, you guys who are in Corinth, who didn't even know what was happening to me, they didn't have email, they didn't have any of the communications that we have today. For example, I think the Storm Maria is going today to Puerto Rico, but I was able to know by a phone call yesterday, and you can communicate really fast with what's happening. But at that time, the Apostle Paul did go sometime during those 3 years to see the church in Corinth, but most of the time they were not in contact except for these letters that we're looking at. And he said, you are helping me together by praying for me in prayer. And also, these afflictions cause people to give thanks by many people on our behalf for the gift, and in this case is the gift of life, granted to us through many. This, Paul says, yes, this was a gift given to me, this comfort, affliction came, comfort came, and this comfort was a gift from God, but it was granted to us because of many, because of you Corinthians who are praying for me, and because of many people who will be praising God that we're still alive. So, as a conclusion, during times of afflictions, they are hard. They're never fun. But think of them as a time where you can get to know God the most. Your faith can grow. You can get to know the side of God the Father as the Father of all mercies and the Father of all comfort. And you can realize that He has the power to raise even people from the dead. And He can keep you alive when He wants you. And then you will also realize, because of what He has done, what He's doing right now, and what He will do in the future. So that shouldn't stop you from doing things for Christ. Sometimes we're a little fearful to do things for Christ, and that's what we've been doing in our, looking in our Sunday school. I think Piper calls it taking risks. Be willing to be bold. Talk. I mean, God can protect you. If the Lord puts in you the desire to share with someone, go ahead. Do something for Christ, because He can protect you. And if you get to go through afflictions, He will send His comfort with it. You can be sure of that. Paul was sure, but you will never experience it until that time of affliction comes. And it will come. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for your word, and I thank you for the Apostle Paul who wrote these words as he was going through affliction, and when, as he had just suffered affliction that scared him to death, and he realized that you could be trusted, Lord. And we pray for everybody here as we go through different afflictions, and you might send afflictions in the future. To keep this in mind, Lord, as we think about the Apostle Paul and other saints who were able to experience your power in weakness, Lord. And we thank you for the blessings that you give us and that make us be strong, but also we thank you for the time when you make us weak. And Lord, help us to put this into practice when that time comes, Lord. We also pray that if someone doesn't know you, that they will be able to realize that they are weak and they cannot deal with their own sinfulness, and your justice demands full payment for their sin, Lord, but also that you have sent the Lord Jesus Christ, full of love and kindness and grace and mercy, to take care of that account that was against us. And he took care of that account on the cross, and then he nailed it onto the cross and put there, "It is paid, it is finished." And I pray that they will come to him and receive this forgiveness, and then after receiving that forgiveness, that they will be able to experience his presence in their lives, Lord. We thank you for your work, which we experience its truthfulness every day in our lives, and I pray that you will help us to live by it. And we're praying this in Jesus' name. Amen.